Good morning, everybody. You guys are pretty up for 1 o'clock in the morning. It looks like you're used to this already. Brander. I just want to know where you're going now, that's all. It's a little tzichut and a kavod always to speak here at the shul. It's a very big honor. Thank you, Rabbi Laniado. Thank you for the tzibur. And like I said, honestly, to speak after Rabbi Brander is a very challenging mission that nobody would like to have that responsibility. But this is my lot in life. The minhag Yisrael, as we know, is to stay up all night to learn Ne'orim Kol HaLayla, to stay tonight Hoshana Rabbah. I'm sure many of you have learned over the years different passwords, many of the books in Sfarim. I'm sure you've learned the laws of Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva. Where do we find that Limud Torah, studying of Torah, plays a role in the Tshuva process? Where did that come up? You know what's interesting? It doesn't. There's no place that talks about, that I'm familiar with, when it talks about the process of doing Teshuvah, when it talks about the process of repenting, when it talks about the process of coming close to God, you'd imagine that the Rambam, the Lord of Teshuvah, would say, don't forget, you want to study Torah, but no place doesn't mention it. And all of a sudden, they have a big zuchut Hoshana Rabbah, the big chatimah, it's the final ceiling of all the din of from Rosh Hashanah, Kippur. This is the final ceiling. This is it. So what's our mitzvah? We stay up all night learning Torah. Torah, where were you until now? Why are you not involved in that process from Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot? All of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah gets this very big attention. Torah gets this great focus on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah night. What happened? Why is there such a connection, such a role that what we're doing tonight, staying up all night, Be'ezat Hashem, at least you are, why are we staying up all night and engaging in Torah tonight as part of the end of my ceiling, the end of my, the chtimah that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give us? We don't find it in Rosh Hashanah, we don't find it in Yom Kippur. Famously, the Medrash tells us that we know that Shemini Atzeret is a very special day, it's unique, it's an extra chag. And the Midrash tells us, and Rashi quotes in the Chumash, that says, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kosh alai pudatchem. I'm sure you're familiar with the famous Midrash. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, it's hard for me to separate from you. Those of us who have children who come home for the Chagim, who live overseas or across America, and they come home for the Chag, it's indeed a very big challenge. When our children go back home, they leave us. It's not easy. And that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu feels. Kosh lai pidatcha. The Medrash talks about, he says, the whole Chag I've been busy. You've been bringing korbanot for the Kenegad the Goyim, 70 korbanot throughout Sukkot, right, familiar? And then comes throughout the entire Sukkot, we're involved, we're celebrating, but we're also connecting to the Umot Olam, we're connecting to the nation of the world. And then Hashem says, but I want with you this last one extra day, la'asot sudah ketana. I want to make a small meal, a small suda together, and ask Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, Zichrono Levracha, he says, why a small meal? Why a suda ketana? If you're so excited and you want to be with us, take me out to a nice restaurant, let me order whatever I want, take whatever you want, oh, come kids, let's enjoy, you're leaving tomorrow in the morning, I'm going to go out tonight, we have a wonderful time, I'll take you to the restaurant, and then we'll bring the grandkids to munchies for dessert. We'll have a grand old time. Why does the Medrash say Shivi is Sudah Ketana? Why a small meal? Why minimize the excitement? Why take away from the connection, from the celebration? Why make it as if a goodbye party? My last question is, we know that minhag is to, everyone should get an aliyah on Simchat Torah. Everyone gets called up to Torah, it's the last part of the Chag. Why? What's the big deal? I mean, we understand Simchat Torah, we get it. We learn Torah twice a day, twice a week in the weekday, Shabbat. We have a five Shabbat afternoon. Every time we read Torah, we say it's a mitzvah that's tzibur. It's a communal mitzvah. It's a communal concept. Come Simchat Torah, it's not enough. Kansach HaTorah, we want every single person to get their own aliyah, to get called up to Torah, especially when you go to Simchat Torah. What's behind that custom? One of the great Gedolei Yisrael of the 1800s was Rabbeinu Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, known as the Netziv. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva in Europe, one of my personal favorite commentators. He has a fascinating insight. In Parshat Emor, the Pasuk says, if she be on the 15th, the Yom HaChamisha Asayom, the Chodesh HaShvi HaZeh, it should be on this 17th, on the 15th day of this 7th month. And he says, the word HaZeh doesn't fit in. We don't normally refer to it like that. And he has a whole explanation. At the end of the concept, he says, that the idea is that there's a direct connection. Listen, it's an unbelievable idea. He says, the entire Rosh Hashanah is only a hachana, the preparation for Sukkot. B'keitzah l'yom chagenu, he says, from Keitzah is the Rosh Hashanah, through Yom Kippur, Yom Chagenu is Sukkot. He says the entire Rosh Hashanah and the entire process we go through is only v'hachana to prepare ourselves for Sukkot. And he explains, because Sukkot is the chag that we celebrate water, we thank Hashem for water, and water is our main source of panasa. Without water we cannot live. And since Rosh Hashanah, we're begging Hashem, we're asking Hashem, we'll be seeking Hashem, please give us panasa tova, chayim tovim, give us all the berachot, give us everything we want. So obviously the whole Rosh Hashanah is in order to get to Sukkot. Sukkot, when we're going to bring the korbanot of water, we're going to ask Hashem to be judged. We are judged on the chag of Sukkot for water. So everything we do until now is in preparation for this. So I want to understand what the Netziv means exactly, that Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, everything in preparation for Sukkot, just for the water for Parnas. So I want to get a little bit of understanding of that. There's a famous idea which he brought down in numerous places in Chazal. The great Sefat Emet, the Ger Chassid Rebbe says, he says that the idea we know that water doesn't just mean water. Ein mayim el Torah, there's no, the main primary concept of water is called Torah. When we talk about the Medrash Shir Shirim says that Torah is like an ocean, it's like a yam, right? It's like you can't see it, right? The depth of it doesn't end, and when you stand by the Atlantic beach and you stand by the Pacific Ocean, you see that it looks like it never ends. It looks like there's no ending to the water. The Torah, when a person engages in Torah study, you the more you understand that, the more you learn, the more you realize that there's more to learn. The more you engage, you understand there's never an ending to this great wisdom of the Torah, the great Chachmat Torah. And therefore, we find multiple places, right? The Medrash tells us that the fish, when it rains, that the fish jump out of the water to get the raindrops. Why? You're living in water. You're in water. Why are you leaving your water? Because they have so much love for that water, which gives them their sustenance, which gives them their lifespan. They make sure that another drop. So there are multiple sources, multiple understanding. It teaches us the idea that water and Torah come together as one thing. Let's take this to another level as well. The Midrash tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu had many names. Anybody know how many names Moshe Rabbeinu had? So the Medrash says 10, the Gemara says 12 or 13, the Gemara Megillah. It, beautiful names, Yukutiel, Avigdor, Yisofo, beautiful, beautiful names. What do we call them?
Moshe.
Who gave the name Moshe? Bat Paro, Paro's daughter. Why? Give me the Maya Mishitu, because I drew him out of water. So, you're talking about the person who went up to Shemayim, brought down the Torah to Am Yisrael, saved us, brought us to Kriyat Yam Suf, brought the Luchot, did the plagues, everything he did for us. Beautiful names. And each name, the Medrash tells, and the Gemara Megillah tells us, what each name represents, how much Moshe have been influenced and able to expand upon the Jewish people, connect us to God, Yered, and all these wonderful names. And the one that we can call him is Moshe, because a story that happened, that when he was born, it happened to be, he was put in a basket in the water, the daughter of Paro brought him out. That's why we're going to call him Moshe Rabbeinu, Atish Moshe. And not just us. God calls him that. So why are we limiting him? Why are we making it sound like such an insignificant part of his life? He had grown so much past that. He had so many life experiences. He moved so much beyond that. It's like we're holding him back almost. Like we're keeping you stuck where you were, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're keeping you stuck as a child in the basket that was saved by the daughter of Paro. Why make Moshe Rabbeinu such a small, finite thing when he was the leader of the Jewish people, the eternal leader of the Jewish people? There's a Paro, as we know, killed out, gave instructions that any child that's born has to be drowned in water. You know, Rashi tells us because he thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't pay back by water. But I think Paro had another idea in mind as well. Paro was trying to make himself, as we know, a god. Just like we saw that this God, this Jewish God, this God destroyed the world through water by the Mabul of Noach, I'm also going to use water to destroy the Jewish people. I'm also like Elohim. I'm also a God. I also can destroy people through water. But there was a big mistake he misunderstood. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world through water, what was his purpose? How many feet would God need to cover the earth to destroy the world? To wipe out mankind? 1,000 feet. Would that do the job? If the water went 1,000 feet high, would that be enough? 2,000 feet? To the highest mountain, Hashem brought the water. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mei Mabul, the water, the flood, it wasn't just to destroy the world. You want to destroy the world, God could do with 1,000 feet. Easy. Look how much panic we had on Sukkot when maybe it rained at 4 o'clock in the morning. We all ran to a house to be careful, right? People saw pictures in New York. The cars were flooded to halfway up. The water buses were flooded. It was unbelievable. How much feet do you need to destroy? Hashem was making the world into a mikveh. He brought water all the way up to purify the world like a mikveh. He covered the entire world, immersed us to bring us to a point of purity, to a point of greatness, to a point of growth. To destroy the world, not to destroy the world for the sake of destruction, but rather he was trying to bring the world to a point of greatness. Because the power of water somehow seems to have that ability, like we have in mikvah. Paro's purpose was to destroy the world. Power's goal was to kill people without any rebuilding, without any rejuvenation, without making things even better and better. Power's purpose was to use water for destruction. Hashem's purpose was to use water for greatness. So let's understand what this means a little bit. There's a story. When Rav Hutner, Zichron Levracha, the famous Rosh Yeshiva Pachad Yitzchak in New York, so he once told the story to Rav Aaron Cutler, Zichron Levracha, the famous founder of Lakewood Yeshiva. Said, I want to share with you a story. So there was a bachur in Yeshiva who was very unsuccessful in his learning. He was really not a talented guy. He really was not a bright guy. No one saw any real potential in him. And he simply couldn't get a chavutai, could not find anybody who wanted to study with him. So eventually he gave up on finding a chavuta. And he sat in the back of the Beit Midrash, learning, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. He asked questions here and there, and then eventually just kept learning and learning. One day, one of the rabbeim, one of the teachers of the high school, called in sick. Last minute thing. And they needed a substitute. And they couldn't find anyone last minute. So the high school principal went over to this young man sitting in the back of the room. About a couple of years he's been there. He said, listen, do me a favor. Our rabbi called in sick. Would you mind just substituting the class. Just make sure they don't kill you, you don't kill them. If everyone walks out of this room alive by the end of the day, we're all very happy. Nothing more than that. I have no expectation to teach, whatever. Just make sure the building isn't destroyed, that everyone is alive, and we will call it a good day. Sure. Goes, comes, does a job, leaves. The next day, one of the students walks up to the principal and says, Rebbe, who was that man who substituted us yesterday? And the principal says, oh, boy, here it comes. Here it comes. What happened? Tell me what happened. I'll take care of it. Rebbe, you talk. Who was this man? He said, why? He said, he was unbelievable. He didn't stop. His Divrei Torah was beautiful. His stories were amazing. His explanations were like gems. We didn't want to go to a break. He was so brilliant and so smart and so knowledgeable. And the principal said, are you sure? See, Rebbe, we sat there in class. We didn't move. Could we have him again? And Rav Huttner is sharing the stories of Aaron Cullen. He says to him, look what the power of Torah can do to a person. Look what the power of Torah can do to a person, to change the person, to somebody who couldn't get a chavuta, to somebody who the boys were hanging on to every single word of his. That, said Rav Aaron, is the power of Torah. When we talk about that Torah is like water, water is like Torah, we know the different types of material in the world. You have what's called chomer materialism, right? Something which is rock solid, and there's a tzura, something which has a shape. Water is what's called chomer b'li tzura. Water is material without any shape, because no matter what you, whatever vessel you put it in, it becomes that shape. Put it round, put it square, put it short, makes no difference. Take a rock, the ultimate chomer with tzura, the ultimate material that has a hard shape to it, you can put it to whatever you want, it's not budging, it's staying a rock forever. The concept of water is the ability to have a love of materialism, to be part of this world, of a physical existence, but to elevate yourself through that water, through that power, through the force, to change your shape, to make you to a person that isn't solid into who you are. Most of us stay where we are in our life. We change a little bit, but we pretty much stay who we are. Our midot pretty much stay who we are. Our level of generosity can go up and down, it changes, it grows. But overall, if you think about the span and how much we change in our lives, we're pretty much where we are. We're often more like the chomer than we are like the tzura. We're more like something which is a rock solid existing identity as opposed to like water, which is more fluid and more flexible, which moves and grows and changes. And our goal in life is to be like that water. When Kosh Baruch Hu brought water into the world, it was to teach us what it means to grow. It was to teach us what it means to become better. It was to teach us the power of influence, how much a person can change if they want to change. This is what water does. Water is the lesson. That's what Torah is compared to water. Because Torah is the ability to change us to a place that we can't imagine. To take us into somebody who had no kesher to learning, had no kesher to God, had no connection to religiosity, no connection to spirituality. And look how we change. The greater and closer we come to Torah, the more we change. Our personalities can change. Our midot change. Our understanding of life changes. I had a student who called me today. He's been out of my class about a year and a half, almost 2 years. He said, Rebbe, I just want to say hello. Schmoozing, we're talking. Beautiful phone call. He's doing religiously not where he should have been. He knows that. We said to him, Rebbe, I want to tell you one thing. He said, I'm working now. I'm going to college. He said, I got to tell you, I'm so proud that I'm a Jew. I said, why do you say that? He said, because I see the difference of our values. I see the difference we have purpose in life. I see the difference of what we speak about. I am so proud to be a Jew. I'm so proud of the home I grew up in. Because that's what Torah does to us. It gives us the ability to change ourselves and to give ourselves power and to build ourselves in a very special way. Who was the next person, the Gemara tells us, who was worthy of receiving the Torah? Who was the person who could have been worthy to receive the Torah, if not Moshe Rabbeinu?
Maybe
Akiva, beautiful. Umar Merachot. What made Rabbi Akiva become religious? What inspired him, besides the fact that this girl, Rachel, wanted him?
The water
hitting a rock. The water, the ultimate concept that has no self-identity. It's fluid, it moves, can penetrate and break a rock, can make a hole, can make a dent in a rock. The ultimate chomer, the ultimate sense of material can be impacted by the power of water. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, ki minamayim mishitiyu. Moshe Rabbeinu was drawn from water. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that when he was put into the basket as he grew up, and he understood the name Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe was not just a name he was given by Paro, it identified him. It gave him the ability to understand that my mission in life is to be so fluid in who I am that I can identify, I can take on the shape of God. I can come in such connection that Aaron HaKohen, Rashi tells us, testified about Moshe Rabbeinu that at a certain point in his life he never said a word if it wasn't directly from God or related to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He lost his sense of identity. He had no person-owned identity that kept him separate from Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was like water. He was able to be fluid in his existence. To be saying, I'm not rock solid who I am. I'm not going to be stubborn against God. I'm not going to not give in. I'm not going to not do what I need to do because I don't want to, because it's hard for me, because it's difficult. But I'm going to become fluid like water to allow myself to adjust and to adjust and to move and to understand that we have to keep changing in our life. Like water moves and is fluid and flows. We have to be willing to make these adjustments in our life that allows us. Not like Paro to use water to damage Chas V'Shalom, but to use water like Moshe Rabbeinu that allows us to become different people. That allows us, you know, the famous Medrash, it's a big debate whether it's true or not, was brought down by the Mefarshim and the Mishnah. It says that one of the kings of the world, had heard about this great Jewish leader. Stories, everything. So he sent his artist to try to draw a picture of him. In those days, they had the great wisdom how to look at people, the Chachmat Partzuk, to look at the people, and look at someone and see his midot. So once they drew a picture of him, they brought the picture to these wise people who had this Chachma. And they said, and the king said to them, so tell me what you see about this person. Is he really as holy as they say he is? And looking at the picture, and saying, are you sure this is the same person? Are you sure this is the same drawing of this great Jewish leader, Moshe, says, yeah, we're sure, of course we're sure. We did it ourselves. This man is an absolute rasha. He's an absolute rasha. His midot are terrible. He's selfish. He's low life. You can't rely upon him. He's a thief. And it goes like the list of all his terrible attributes. What the Medrash says. So what changed him? His Torah. Because he's willing to become fluid like water. He was willing to allow himself to keep minamayim mishitu. I was drawn from water. I was taken out of water. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's downfall? What was the one thing the Torah says why he could not go into Eretz Yisrael? What happened? Because he hit the rock. What was the rock? What was he supposed to do? Talk to them. What happened? Water will come out of the rock. Water and rock are opposites. Rock is the ultimate sense of chomer of materialism, something which never changes. Water is the exact opposite. The lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to impart to the Jewish people in front of the Am Yisrael was, as a person, I can talk to the rock. As a human, I can influence that anything can change. I can take water out of the most solid existence of the world that God created was a rock. I could take the most fluid existence from that to show you, to teach you that if a person wants, they can, even from something which seems to be so stuck in their place and so rock solid who they are, they can't change. You can still pull water out of that. You can still pull the ability to change out. You know, often, this is what we teach our children. This is what we tell our children, we tell our students. You can change. Anyone can change. And this is the message we're giving to our children as they're growing, as they're raising. Good midot, bad midot, this is what you need to be. What's the message we're giving them? In life, you need to be able to change. And this, I believe, was the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why that specific incident became his greatest tragedy, greatest downfall, was because him of all people who identified that, who is symbolic of that concept, what it means to be able to change, become who you can become, to change who you need to be, to become that from that Asha, to become from named by Bat Paroa, the reason why. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the name of Moshe to be used and not all the beautiful names he was given was because the other names that he was given were names of things that he actually accomplished. It talks about the greatest of Avigdor, the greatest of Yekutiel, Yisrochor, Yered, all the beautiful names of who he became, but how did he become that? That's what I want you to know, says God. How did he become that? Because his entire life he lived as Moshe, Ki min ha'mayim mishitu. I understand, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that my entire essence is to be constantly growing, to be fluid, to be moving like water. To always take on a new identity, to always take on a new concept, to never say, I'm good where I am. To never say, I'm staying put, this is who I am. That's why we don't use that name. Because what made him the great Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, Moshe, because he taught us what Moshe is. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. He taught us what Moshe means. He taught us what it means to be pulled away from something and to keep moving and to never stop and keep saying to myself, never say to myself, I'm done. To never say to myself that I am who I am. To never say to myself, it's too hard. I can't change. I once had a meeting with somebody who I had a certain claim against him, the way he was dealing with a certain situation in school. He said to me, I can't change. This is who I am. And he says, it's in my blood. Had I not had respect for this person, I would have gotten up and walked out. That's your answer, because you are who you are. Isn't this what we teach our students all day and all night? You can always change. And you're telling me you can't change? You're telling me you have the inability to change? Then you're not a teacher. You should not be in this job. Because if we can't impart that lesson in ourselves, then we cannot impart that lesson to our students. And that's who Moshe Rabbeinu was. This is why I believe we call the Moshe Rabbeinu, because there's no greater existence for a person to teach us that concept, to be able to say to us, you can become greater than you think you could become. And the problem in life is we get used to our habits, we get used to what we call today our comfort zone, and we understand this is what works for me, this is who I have, and these habits just become habits. All there is habit. This is what we know in our life. Instead of saying to ourselves, I'm able to push beyond that. I don't need to be like a rock stuck in my place. I'm able to move on to that. I can become water, become fluid, to change, to grow. I become like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's our constant goal. And that's what Torah is for us. I think this is the idea of why Hoshana Rabbah have the lesson of Torah. Torah is not part of the tshuva process. Torah is not the tshuva process. Torah is our understanding that because I want to become a Baal Teshuva, because I want to grow, all of my tefillot, all of my dedication, all of my expression, my Yom Rosh Hashanah, my Kippur, everything that I engaged in and connected with God, and everything I promised Him, everything I begged forgiveness for, was all for one purpose, to get to that level, to show this is how I'm going to prove it to you, God. How do I prove to you that I'm really serious about what I want to be? How do I prove to you that all my commitments will be true? All my promises will happen? How do I get there? By sitting and learning Torah. Because Torah is the ultimate connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not what gets us to Teshuvah. It's the expression of Teshuvah. It's the expression that now that you've gone through this entire season of connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu and making promises and commitments, now you say, okay, as we say in Hebrew, tachlis. Let's see it happen. How do I do tachlis? So, I could do it by answering my commitments, keeping my commitments, but the real tachlis is limud Torah. Because that's the ultimate way to change. Because if you allow the Torah to influence you and to change you and to impact you like Moshe Rabbeinu, not that we're all expected to become Moshe Rabbeinu, but we are expected to grow within ourselves. We are expected to never say to ourselves, I can't change. We are expected to say to ourselves, yeah, it's hard. You know, think about it. Do you ever think about it for a second? Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the highest level possible for human to get to. He went up to Shemayim. He literally went up to Shemayim. He was literally arguing with the angels. He was literally holding on to the Kisei HaKavod. Famous Gemara, right? Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah. Angels didn't want to give it to him. They started arguing. Moshe said, I'm scared to talk to them. They're gonna consume me with the breath of their mouth. So God said, Okhe b'tzi kisei kvodi, hold on to my seat. So Moshe got the highest level place possible. Do you remember the first time he met God? That first date they had? What did Hashem say to him? No, that's after. What was the first thing he said to him?
Don't come too close. You're not even worthy of walking on this ground. Even the ground is too holy for you. You're not even worthy. Moshe, stay where you are. Stay back. Because you're not even worthy of coming close because the ground is holier than you. And next thing we know, he's taking out people from slavery. He's crossing the Red Sea through miracles. He's going up to Har Sinai, holding up to God's throne, bringing down the Luchot. How'd that happen? Because he was Chomer, he was a rock, or he was water? Because he understood that the great connection a person can grow when you go through a connection of Torah. He changed his entire being. He went from a person that was unholy, unworthy of standing on the ground where God was, to God saying, the Gemara tells us, he brought him into the deepest level of his clouds. Gemara Yuma. It's mind-boggling how much a person can change. Rabbi Akiva said, bring me a Talmid Chacham and I'll bite in the bite of a donkey. Next thing we know, he becomes Rabbi Akiva with 24,000 Talmidim. How do you say donkey in Hebrew? Chamor, like the word chomer, materialism, the same word. Because chamor is the ultimate, within the animal kingdom, the ultimate level of something which is stuck in its place. Akiva said, I'm like chomer. I'm like that rock. I give a bite like donkeys. I'm stuck in my place. I am who I am. I'm never going to change. I'll bite him like the bite of a donkey. I'll bite him like I'm nothing. I don't change. People like me don't change. Until he saw the power of the simple water pecking at him. Hitting the rock. And every time he saw the water hit the rock, it was like a water on his own heart. It was dropping into his own heart. See, but that rock, but I'm the chomer. I'm like the rock. The water's hitting that. Maybe the water can affect me as well. This, I believe, is what we're talking about, that we talk about the tshuvah that we try to obtain, is the ability to release ourselves a little bit of the gashmiut of life. A little bit, not too much. We still like the good food, we enjoy it. But a little bit, to begin to let go of certain things and allow that to be filled up. You know, we say in tefillah, v'sab'einim mituvecha. So the simple explanation is, means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, satisfy me, because of your goodness, because of your kindness,
give me satisfaction. I should be merit to receive from you, from your goodness. I should be merit to receive things that satisfy me. But I think the pshat is different. V'sab'edim mituvecho, what satisfies me is what's good to you. What your goodness is, your Torah. Ki lekach tov natati lechem. I gave you a good gift. Lekach tov mituvecha, from your goodness. Ki lekach tov, you gave me a gift called a Torah. That should satisfy me. That's what should get me up in the morning. That's what should give me motivation in the afternoon. That's why I should wait to get to home back at night. These are high levels. I'm not putting this out there like this is an easy switch to flick. But this is, should be our understanding that we all have the potential, we all have the power to make change in our life, to become a little bit more fluid in who we are as people. And I believe this is what the Netziv meant when he said that the entire Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is all about getting to the point of Sukkot. Because what happens on Sukkot? We bring to the Mizbeach Hashem no more animals, no more wheat. What do we take? Water. We take water and we put it in the Mizbeach. Why water? Because water is Torah. Because water is the expression that we understand that in our lives we can change. The water is the expression, the world that God created in this world, something that manifests the idea that if I'm willing to put myself on that journey, if I want to connect with that concept, I can be worthy of placing myself on the Mizbeach by becoming fluid like water. The Netziv said the Rosh Hashanah, the entire Rosh Hashanah is for what? To get to Sukkot. Really? The entire Rosh Hashanah to get to Sukkot? Yeah. Because that's the trajectory that we go on. That's the journey that we take. We start with our tefillot. We start with the Shuvah. But the way to show that our teshuvah is sincere and real, the way to show that teshuvah is really what we want it to be, is let's see now, tachlis. Let's see now how we're willing to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu through Torah. There's a beautiful idea we say in tefillah. We say in the Baruch Avat Olam, make sure that we all say the same thing before I quote, it's my nesach. Shachrit over here. The Tefillah Vat Olam. Here you go. Right before Shema, we say, yeah. V'tem b'libenu, put into our hearts, Levin, Laskil, Shema, L'molamed. We should understand, we should have the wisdom to listen, l'mod u'l'lamed, to learn and to teach. I've said this before here. Very often, you want to always ask yourself a question when you read something in the Chumash or Siddur. Ask yourself a question: is that how I would have written it? Does this really make sense? Because if I would have written the Siddur, this Tefillah, I would have written it totally different. I would have said, "V'tem b'libenu." That's why they didn't ask me. V'tem b'libenu, put into heart, lilmod, to learn, lahavin has the shmor, lahavin has to understand. How? What am I saying? Help me understand. You didn't start learning yet. Lahavin has the shmor, lilmod ulalamed, to understand, to have the wisdom. But start learning first. V'tem b'libenu, lilmod, lahavin has, then I'll understand it. And the answer, I believe, because first you have to start learning first. You have to make that commitment first. When you make that commitment yourself, when you first put that foot forward, when you say to yourself, I've gone through Rosh Hashanah, I've gone through Sukkot Kippur, I've gone through Sukkot, now I need to sit down and do my learning now. I need to start now. Then we dive into Hashem. God, I'm making my first step. I'm putting myself out there. I saw a wording, a terminology from the Maharal. There's the following idea. Kitzorcha adam mitzat atzmo teshuka v'achana ela kodin shimekabla. A person has to first have the desire himself and prepare himself before he receives it. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu natan l'mishe enu mukhan l'tchila. God would not grant you
the Si'at Deshmaya will not grant you the gift of help and assistance to grow your learn Torah if you don't prepare yourself for it yourself. If you don't make yourself a little bit more like water, a little bit more fluid like Moshe Rabbeinu, a little bit more like the water that can penetrate the rocks of our heart and allow us to appreciate the value of Torah. I think this is the greatest gift we spoke about when we talked about the Seudah Ketanah. The Shinshin Pinker says, because imagine like a beautiful wedding night, the great simcha, the great joy, the celebration. And after all the friends and family finally leave, and after the Chatan Kala can finally sit down, take off their shoes and relax for a few minutes, they sit down next to each other, schmoozing and they're talking, enjoying each brother's company, reflecting upon the wedding, looking forward for the rest of their lives. That's us with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Seudah Ketanah doesn't mean in the quantity of it, it's the quality of it. I think about Pinkus' idea of comparing that Seudah Ketanah to Chatan Kala, because the only other time that we compared Chatan Kala was by Har Sinai with God, when we see the Torah. And that's what Sukkot is, what Shmi Atzeret is. And now we're connecting to God with this small, intimate Seudah, like a Chatan Kala, like a bride and groom with God, like we were in Har Sinai. Because Torah is the only thing that can give us that love of connection, that love of intimacy with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The ability to have that relationship, to say, I'm really becoming one with God, is through the power and through the Lulim Torah. And perhaps this is the idea why we each get an Aliyah and Simchat Torah. Because this is not about a mass reading. This is about my ability to everything we've been through. This beautiful season, this beautiful connection, this beautiful commitments and growth, the beautiful experience of Sukkot together. Only now, I say I want myself to connect Torah. I want myself to get an Aliyah to Torah. I myself don't want to just hear the Torah from someone else's bracha. Just like I do my own teshuvah, just like I prayed myself Rosh Hashanah, I fasted myself on Kippur, I myself shook my dalet minim and lulav etrog. I myself want to get called up to Torah. I myself want to have that connection. And then maybe that's the source of the minhag and Simchat Torah, why we all get a personal aliyah. Because we're making this expression of our personal goal, our personal aspiration, our personal connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, by being olel Torah and saying to ourselves, after everything I've done, after all my tefillot, at the end of the day, I need to show God that I'm real. I need to show God that I'm fluid in His world. To show God that I understand that my connection requires myself. Like we said, first you sit down and learn. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu will give it to you. As Hashem, we should all have Siyata Rishmaya in all our personal lives to grow to the point to understand that we all have that ability inside of us to be able to draw it out from who we are, like Moshe Rabbeinu can pull water out of a rock, like Rabbi Akiva was able to be influenced by the water of life to penetrate in his own heart. We all have the ability as well to connect to Torah, connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvot, and we should be zocha to see a true aliyah in ourselves. Thank you.